Okay, today is Friday, January the 15th, 1993, and my name is Rick Bradley, and I'm in Indianapolis, Indiana, with former Pirate and White Sox outfielder Ted Beard. Ted, tell me about how'd you get started in baseball? Sandlot or high school or American Legion or how?
Well, I played a lot of sandlot ball in my younger days, and then the Pittsburgh Pirates had a baseball school in Frederick, Maryland. So my cousin talked me into it to go in to Frederick and try out for that baseball school.
What year had that been?
That was in 1942. And I went in and they signed me up. We went to Hornell, New York from there in the Pony League. And then about the middle of the year of 1942, they sent me to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the Interstate League. And then September the 1st, I was drafted into service in World War II.
Who was the first scout that approached you, and then who was the scout that eventually signed you to pro ball, and then how much they signed you for?
That was Poke Whalen. Poke Whalen and Fred Herring both were, Poke was evidently the manager of Hornell, mm-hmm. and Fred Herring was the general manager. So they signed me, and I got $75 a month. But after I was there a month, they gave me a raise. I got $80 a month.
Big money back then. How about, let me ask you, what did your family think about you playing baseball as a career?
Well, they liked it. Of course, I only have a father and two sisters at that time, and they appreciated, they enjoyed it too, really, me playing baseball.
Had your dad played any ball?
No, he never played baseball.
We're already up to the tell me about World War II. You said you were drafted on September the 1st, and then that took care of your career then from Harrisburg up until you got back in 46. Tell me about what you did in the service, and if there's anybody else that that had been playing baseball, had been drafted like you, did you play ball while you were in the service with or against any of these guys?
I went to Hawaii in 1943, and in Hawaii we played a lot of baseball. A lot of major league ball players over there.
Any names you remember?
Oh yeah, Johnny Mize, Hugh Mulcahy, they were on one team. Johnny Lucadella, Red Ruffing, Long Tom Winsett, Joe DiMaggio. There was a flock of them over there. Mm-hmm. They had all the major leaguers, seemed like, in Hawaii. And I played against them and played with them and had a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. But I stayed there in Hawaii until, the invasion of Philippines. We went to the invasion of Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
I was there a short while. And, of course, military, they like to build baseball fields. They like to play baseball. It wasn't long until they put up barrels around the outfield for a fence and bulldozers make you a diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Mulcahy managed a team over there. I played against him. Now, he had Ferris fame. It was one of the major leaguers he had. He had a center fielder who played Toledo Mudhens. I can't remember his name now. I've done forgot. So that was the extent of baseball in the service.
Mm-hmm. Where were you stationed? Spent all your time in Hawaii? Or?
I was stationed around Fort Shafter. I played on Fort Shafter baseball team most of the time. And I was playing against most of those major leaguers. We had some good baseball games.
Mm-hmm. Let me just backtrack just a second about Harrisburg and 42. Anything you remember about, did you play with anybody that later made the majors, or were there any characters that you remember on that team? Or
Cott Deal, a pitcher. Cott made the major leagues, mm-hmm. and I think Cott's still scouting for I believe in Texas somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Vic Barnhart, I think, made it. I'm not sure. But that's about all I can remember right now.
Okay. So then after the war's over, then you start up again, and tell me how you wound up in York in 46?
Well, when I come out of the service, then I contacted, I forget who I contacted to find out where I could play baseball again in 46. And
you weren't anybody's property at this?
Yeah, I was at Pittsburgh.
Still Pittsburgh, okay.
Pittsburgh organization. And they had moved their team from Harrisburg to York, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got started in York.
Well, you had a pretty good year, didn't you? Well, 328, it shows here, and 12 homers and 75 RBIs.
Yeah, and then, in 47, I was back at York, Pennsylvania. I started at Albany and got off to a bad start. They sent me back to York, Pennsylvania.
And finished York there?
Finished a year in York, Pennsylvania again.
And then you started with Indy. How'd you get from York to Indy? Promoted again, I take it?
Yes, Indianapolis was the AAA team of Pittsburgh Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
They sent me to Indianapolis, and Al Lopez was the manager here, and he kept me and had a pretty good year.
Yeah, well, tell me about Al. What do you remember about him? Good manager?
Al's the best manager ever walked on a baseball field.
Well, tell me why.
He knew so much about baseball. He knew so much about the players. He knew how to play a player, how to play a batter. He knew everything, and the best personality you'll ever run across. He was great.
Well, and then in, tell me about September the 5th of 48, first day you're up with Pittsburgh. Tell me what that was like. What do you remember about that day, and tell me about how you were treated by the other guys on the Pirates, if it was, they were happy to see you, or if you were brought up and maybe, was a deal where somebody thought you were there to take somebody else's job and maybe you weren't treated all that well, or what do you remember?
Well, I don't remember much about it. I know they're friendly to you. They're, there's no resentment of any kind. And you take your big players like Ralph Kiner or Wally Westlake, and they're always friendly.
Mm-hmm.
They're nice people.
Did you get to play that first day, or when did you finally get into a game?
I don't remember if I played the first day. I don't think I did. I believe the Cardinals were in town, the St. Louis Cardinals. And the coach said, today you're going to see the best hitter in baseball. And that was Stan Musial. Well, the first time Stan came to bat, there was runners on first and second, nobody out, 3-2 count. Runners were running. Stan usually hit a line drive to Rojack on shortstop. He stepped on second, third, first, triple play. And Bob Chesney was pitching that game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Bob Chesney only pitched to 27 batters that day? Not another Cardinal got on base.
I see. Well, how'd those two guys get on? You remember what, hitting a walk or two hits?
I don't remember how they got on.
It doesn't get much better than that. Then 49 split some more time between Pittsburgh and Indianapolis.
Right. 49. That might have been the year I got my hand broke. I'm not sure.
Well, 50 is what the book says. 1950 broken hand. But you would remember more than anybody else. It was your hand.
I don't remember much about 49.
Okay, well, tell me about breaking your hand.
Well, that was in Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
I was on first base, and the take sign was on for the batter, so I wasn't getting much of a lead off, and the batter hit the ball.
Mm.
Hit a ground ball to second base, and I'm caught halfway in between first and second. Roy Smalley, throwing the ball to first, hit me in the hand, broke the hand.
Oh, I see. And how long were you out?
I was out quite a while. I don't remember how long I was out.
Did it heal up for you okay, or did it hinder you at all?
It hindered me a lot, yes.
For the rest of that season or for a long time?
It hindered me for several months. It was very tender.
Mm-hmm.
Very tender. It was hard to swing a bat with it. That was the worst part.
It was your right hand that you...
Right hand.
Well, anything else about 1950?
No, that about that is, I guess.
Okay, and then 50 and 51, same thing again, a little bit in Indy, a little bit in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, same thing.
And then 52 was your last year with the Pirates, and then what happened? How'd you leave Pittsburgh and wind up in Hollywood?
Pittsburgh was going with young team at that time under Branch Rickey. They were going back to the, getting rid of the older players and going back to the young guys. And I went to Hollywood, California then. That was working agreement with Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pittsburgh that year had a, looked like they had a terrible year. 42 and 112 and 52 and 1 to 54 and a half games back.
That's quite a year.
I bet. What'd you think of Rickey, Branch Rickey's plan then?
I don't know. Branch Rickey gets too much credit.
Does he? Yes. Well, what do you think that is?
Well, he never done a lot at Pittsburgh. So that tells you.
You think if he'd been the magician everybody says he is, he'd have done something
else. He'd have been a magician. He'd have.
Well, then, when you went to Hollywood, and now the Pirates, did they just outright release you? Or?
Yeah, it was outright to Hollywood.
Okay, and then you tell me how you signed with Hollywood, and whose property are you then? Is Hollywood have a working agreement with Chicago or somebody else?
No, with
or?
Pittsburgh.
That's with Pittsburgh as well.
Yeah, they were working with Pittsburgh. But the Coastal League at that time had mostly older players, very few young players.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a place where guys, when they were through with their major league career, were winding up.
Right.
There, is that the deal?
Yes, that's the way they played it. Well, maybe a team had one or two young players, and the rest of them were all guys coming down, is what it was. It was a real good league, nice league to play in.
Who were the, in your time out there, and you spent some time in Hollywood and then with San Francisco, who were some of the guys that you played with that maybe were on their way down, you remember?
Well, Mel Queen, Jim Walsh, Joe Muir, they were pitchers at Hollywood. Dale Long was the first baseman for us there one time. Of course, Dale hadn't went up yet and had his good year at Pittsburgh. Then we had Monty Basgo. He was second baseman. Monty could make a double play. He couldn't throw hard, but when they give him the ball, that ball never stopped at Monty. It went right on to first base. Mm-hmm. He was real good. And Monty would, our best runner never take Monty out. They never knew where he was going to be. He'd cross the bag, or he'd back up, or he'd straddle the bag. He had three different positions. Base runners never knew where he was. Today, everybody knows where the second baseman's going to be. But back when Monty was playing second, you didn't know where he was going to be. Then we had Dick Cole. Dick Cole went to Pittsburgh after that. He was shortstop. Well, and Johnny Lindell, the pitcher, he went to the Phils, wasn't it? Lindell and Mike Sandlot, the catcher, caught him.
How'd you go from Hollywood then to San Francisco in 54?
Hollywood was loaded with outfielders. And San Francisco needed a lot of help. They were in bad shape.
Now, who did they belong to? The White Sox?
They were, or they didn't belong to anybody. They were just picking up players. So they bought my contract, and I went to San Francisco. I was expandable.
So were they playing in Seal Stadium, I think, at the time?
Yes, Seal Stadium. That was a big stadium. It was a huge stadium. I think it's tore down now.
Yeah, I think it's all gone myself. And then wound up there in 54 and 55.
Right.
And then back with Indianapolis again, 5 years later in 56. Now, how'd that happen?
The Boston Red Sox had their working agreement moved from Louisville to San Francisco. And they wanted to cut my salary too much, and I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't sign with them.
Well, what were you making, and what did they want to cut you to?
I was making $12.50 a month, and they wanted to cut me to $1,000. And I wouldn't take it. So I came to Indianapolis to see Honey Bush and Hump Pierce. Hump said, "You want to play in Indianapolis?" I said, "You have to pay enough money." 2 days later, I got notice that my contract was sold in Indianapolis, so I was back here.
And what were you making here at the time?
$1,100.
Well, still had to take a little bit of a pay cut.
Yeah, a little bit.
So then it spent all of 56 with Indy.
Yes.
And then I'm guessing began 57 with Indy.
Right.
And then how'd you get a White Sox buy you?
Yes, I was having a good year here.
Yeah, 347.
And the White Sox wanted an outfielder. That's about all I know of how, mm-hmm. how it came
did you wind up the year with the White Sox?
Yes.
You finished the year with them?
Yes.
Well, they finished, what, second place that year?
Right.
Eight back?
Yeah. Eight back of the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. The Yankees. I read this in Vec's book about the Yankees and the way they operated in the 50s, the Kansas City A's being their major league farm club. And the buying players like Maris and things like that. You remember much about that?
Yes.
So tell me about that and the unfair advantage it had on the rest of the league.
Well, Roger Maris played in Indianapolis, and he and I roomed together. And Roger's a good ball player. He could hit, he could run the bases, he could throw. Roger was a good ball player. You never heard anything about him. I mean, they don't ever talk about him except his hitting.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a good all-around ball player. So when Cleveland took Roger up, Roger was having a bad year at Cleveland. And I run into Roger in Baltimore. That was in 1958 when I saw Roger in Baltimore. And I said, Roger, what's the matter? Or it might have been 57. I said, everybody in Cleveland telling you how to hit? He said, yeah. I said, won't you tell him go shit in your hat? So I guess he did, and they sold him to Kansas City. Well, I knew when he went to Kansas City, he was on his way to the Yankees.
Just about every good player was.
Yeah, I was glad to hear that.
Yeah. Let's see here. In 58, same thing. A little bit in Indy, a little bit in Chicago, and the White Sox finished second again.
Yeah.
Not much different from 57.
No, not much difference.
And then did you finish the season with Chicago, or were you up
no,
and down? And
I started the season with Chicago, and then was sent back to Indianapolis.
Okay, sent back to Indy, and then
never went back again.
Well, tell me a little bit about 59 and 60, and why after 60, tell me what happened. The Indy just decided that they'd had enough, or you'd had enough, or how did that wind up?
In 1960, I'm 39 years old. I know my arm's dead, and I know there's balls hit out there that I know I'm going to catch as soon as I leave the bat,
mm-hmm.
and I can't get within one or two steps of
mm-hmm.
it. So after the season was over, Ionie Bush called me up in the office. He said, you can't play anymore. I knew I was done, but you hate to admit it.
Yeah.
So that was the end of my playing days.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just could do a little bit more backtracking. Well, we talked about this off the tape a little bit, but outfield was the only position you played?
Outfield was the only position, yes.
And
You
mentioned something about being a little too small for first base.
And yeah.
You never pitched or anything?
No, I never pitched.
Because if you're left-handed, you don't have a lot of choices in baseball.
Right.
You know,
I would have liked to pitch, but, my first year in baseball, we was a little short of pitchers. And I told the manager, I said, I'll pitch a game. He said, well, I would if I had another reindeer in the outfield.
Wouldn't let you, eh?
He wouldn't let me pitch.
Oh, I see. What about, I want to ask you about spring trainings. The Pirates, you went to spring training with the Pirates.
Yes.
And then tell me a little bit about them. What you remember about them? Any stories or anything like that, where they were held? And then tell me about how you went from when spring training was over, how you got back to Pittsburgh. It's not like... Well, they're starting a little bit more today to kind of play a couple of games on the way back, but I guess that's what you did all the time back then, was kind of played your way back north?
Yes. At that time, Pittsburgh was trained in San Bernardino, California, and Bing Crosby owned our team. He was the major owner. And Bing come around to the ballpark quite often
mm-hmm.
in spring training. And we always thought we had a nice spring training, good. And we'd play... We rode the train then,
mm-hmm.
and we'd stop in Phoenix, Tucson, and down through Texas, Alpine, Texas, and
who were you playing? Just local, like semi-pro teams?
No.
Or did you meet another? Or did you barnstorm with another major league team all the way up?
We barnstormed with another major league team.
Oh, I see.
One I remember was Washington Senators at that time. We played them at every city or like that on mm-hmm. the way back.
What were some of these parks like that you played in?
Oh, they weren't very good. But Oh, we played with them. We played no matter.
Seemed like every, am I right or wrong, but back in the late 40s, early 50s, just about every town almost had a baseball field where you guys could play. Not like, right. Doesn't seem like that way today.
Yes, that's correct. And they had awful good turnouts. All the people would come out to see the games.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, tell me, or describe for me, type of hitter you thought you were. A little bit about your hitting stance, maybe. And if there was anybody that you copied.
I was mostly a line drive hitter. I didn't hit many home runs, just mm-hmm. a few, and more or less a contact hitter. The stance was nothing, just
not open, not closed, just straight?
Just straight away. And
there was nobody that you copied at all?
No, nobody I copied off that.
I see. How about, fielding? In the major leagues, I was looking at your numbers, and there were at least 4 or 5 years I saw that your fielding percentage was 1,000, so it doesn't get any better than that. You wound up 987 career. Tell me about your fielding.
Well, I could go in the outfield, and I could catch the ball. I could catch ground balls, and I could throw in those days. I mm-hmm. threw base runners out.
You tell me about 31 assists one year. Tell me about that.
That was in Indianapolis in 1948. I had 31 assists in the outfield. I threw one base runner out 3 times in one game.
Well, tell me about it. Who was it? Do we know the name?
I can't remember the name, but it was a shortstop for Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Threw him out twice at going from first to third, and I threw him out once from second to home.
Did you talk to him after the game, or did you talk to him any later in the season about that? Or, huh?
But every time I'd go into Minneapolis, the sports writer would mention it.
Mm-hmm. How about base runner? Good base runner? Steal a lot of bases? Or
I never stole a lot of bases. Of course, nobody did in those days.
Just the way the game was played?
They would, yeah, that's right. They'd only steal a base if you needed it or helped the team. Nowadays, you steal a base.
Yeah, they're just stealing to break records, it seems like. Well, let me see. Next question here. Is there anybody, we'll talk about major league pitchers, but if there's anybody in the minor leagues that you remember, you can certainly mention. But who were the toughest pitchers that you went up against? It was really, really tough on you.
Well, Windy McCall was one. McDermott was another one. They were two hard throwing left-handers. And, of course, there's a lot of them that I didn't hit.
Mm-hmm.
I batted against Feller, Whitey Ford. They're all tough. They're a lot of tough pitchers in there.
Was there somebody that you had a pretty easy time with? Was there anybody that, I don't want to say that you owned them, but there was somebody that you had good luck against?
If I did, I don't remember. I put it that way.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you the first home run I hit on Major League.
Well, tell me.
Off of Hallie Paulette.
Off of?
Hallie Paulette in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get back to St. Louis. Joe Graziola was catching for St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And the St. Louis Browns were, and the Cardinals playing the same ballpark.
At Sportsman's Park, yeah.
Right. And the outfield was so bad, there were clumps of grass here and a clump there and a clump there and dirt and clumps of grass. And during batting practice, I thought, how does an outfielder catch a ground ball on this kind of ground? And I'm going to play right field that day. And I thought, the ground ball comes out to me. If it comes up, bounces up, I'll catch it. If it don't, I'll play it off the wall. Let it go. Joe Graziola hit a line drive base hit out there, and that ball hung right to the ground. I just let it go. I played it off the wall. When I turned around, Joe's heading for second base. I thought, Joe, you don't have a chance.
Got him.
I threw him out going to second. Yeah.
How about, let's see, well, where are we at here? I'm losing my place. You said you roomed with Ron Jamaris.
Uh-huh.
Well, who else did you room with, and if there's any good stories about maybe somebody breaking curfew or something like that, we'd certainly be glad to hear them.
Well, I never really roomed with guys who broke curfew.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was somebody else roomed at the rallies or what. I don't know.
Wasn't you, huh?
Wasn't it?
Anybody else remember besides Roger Maris? Any other names we'd know?
Well, Earl Turner. Earl Turner caught for Pittsburgh a little bit. I don't know.
Really. Did you have your choice of who you wanted to room with, or did the secretary put you guys together?
The secretary made up their list.
Mm-hmm. Did he try to put somebody that maybe like yourself that was more reserved with somebody that was a little bit more wild or to try to calm him down or keep an eye on him?
Yes, they would do that. That's why they roomed me with Roger Maris, you know, in case you could give him some hints about playing the outfield or something. That was that purpose. And they'll do it with pitchers, too, every now and then.
Okay. How about flakes or any real characters on any of these teams that you played with?
A lot of them.
No?
A lot of characters.
Well, anybody want to talk about?
No. There's some good ones. They really had a lot of fun. A lot of laughs.
Who was your, do you have a best friend from baseball? Or just a lot of guys that you know really, really well?
I don't consider hardly anybody a friend. I consider them all the same, mm-hmm. You know.
Well, I have a list here of some guys I'd like to ask you about anyway. Maybe if you think of a story or something that happened or you have a comment or something, just feel free. Start off with, I was just going through your, doing the research on you and looking at some of the minor league, some of the guys that you played with. Tell me about Jimmy Pearsall.
I never played with Jimmy, and I was never around Jimmy.
Jimmy played in, he was in...
I think the Boston Red Sox were.
He was in the American Association back in the late 40s. I thought maybe you had run into him.
I don't remember him. Don't remember.
How about Ray Dandridge? You remember Ray?
Oh, yes. Ray was third baseman. Yes, I remember him well. He was a good ball player. Did he get inducted to the Hall of Fame?
I want to say yes, but I'm not sure. How about, well, we were talking about this off the tape, too. How about Harvey Haddix?
Harvey Haddix.
You said you something in the paper about him. Something about him the other day.
Yeah, I saw a sign. Harvey Haddix stand beside a sign in Ohio. The street's named after Harvey. I batted against Harvey quite a few times too.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good pitcher. Good pitcher. He's a good hitter too for a pitcher.
How about Mickey Mantle? Remember Mickey?
Only a little. Mickey played with Kansas City when I was playing in Indianapolis and. I believe Mickey went up, say, in the middle of the year or something like that. So I didn't see him very much.
Well, what'd you think of what you saw?
He could play.
You knew he was going to make it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, how about Chuck Connors?
Chuck Connors. First time I saw Chuck was in the Little World Series. He was playing for Montreal, and I was playing in Indianapolis. And then we both played in the Coast League, too.
Mm-hmm.
He played for Los Angeles, and I played for Hollywood. Chuck was a character. He was quite a character. I know, I hear the guys on the Los Angeles team saying, out in the Coast League, you know, they flew.
Mm-hmm.
He rode airplanes, and he'd scare the people to death. Plane taking off, going down the runway, and Chuck would think, oh my God, it's not going to get up. It's not going to get up. He'd carry on, you know, aggravating people.
I bet.
Then he was in Oakland. They had a sprinkler system in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And Oakland Park was pretty old. Chuck said, I bet these sprinklers don't work. So he took the paper off a clothes hanger, lit it, and held it up there by a sprinkler. He said, them things ain't going to work. He got down after a while, bang, off goes the sprinklers. Everybody has to run out of the clubhouse, grab their clothes. Fire trucks came. I said, I know that Chuck Connors done it. Chuck was a character.
How about Steve Bilko? What do you remember about him?
Oh, he could hit.
I saw his numbers. He could hit.
Yeah, he could hit. I remember him. I played against him. I'm not with him.
Long and far, huh?
Yeah.
How about some guys that you played with?
You know, Bilko. I want to tell you about Bilko. He could hit Gene Bearden as if he owned him.
Mm-hmm.
That was one guy that Bilko could hit for Gene Bearden. Bearden was pitching for us in San Francisco. Bilko was with the Los Angeles team.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he would rack them up.
How about, we talked a little bit before, too, about Ralph Kiner and Wally Westlake.
Yeah, they're great people. I think Ralph's still broadcasting.
He may be.
Yeah, Ralph's all right. I know one time the clubhouse there in Pittsburgh, they have a washing machine washing ball players' clothing, you know, their underwear and things. Then Ralph just opened up the washing machine, dumped a box of soap powder in. That soap powder run all over that floor, and the trainer come in there, "Who done that?" And they said, "Tyner." They said, "Well, that's all right."
Averages 41 runs a year. Okay, huh? How about Wally Westlake?
Wally was a good one. He liked to hunt like I did. He called me squirrel hunter. He'd always say, "Hey, squirrel hunter," because I used to hunt squirrels early in the fall of the year.
So that was your nickname nickname for you anyway.
Yeah, Wally gave me squirrel hunter.
How about Murray Dixon?
Murray is a great guy. Oh, Murray, great. Sure like Murray. He died a couple years ago too. He sent me a Christmas card one year, and my cousin's initials are the same as mine. So the card went to my cousin. My cousin told me, said, "I got a Christmas card from Murray Dixon." Said, "Do you mind if I keep it?" I said, "No." He said, "I'll send him one next year."
How about Minnie Minoso?
Minnie Minoso. Minnie is a great guy. I like Minnie real well.
Mm-hmm. He's got some pretty good numbers. You know, he's in the Hall of Fame voting, it seems like, every year. Just doesn't seem to make it in. You think he belongs? Or?
I think he does. He was just a great guy. I know he was flying on a plane one night. Minnie's afraid of airplanes.
Oh.
And back then we were riding on a DC-7. And the pilot would inject fuel. That's what I say. The pilot would inject fuel into the engines, and the blue flame goes out of the exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
And those ball players would tell Minnie that plane's on fire. And that scared Minnie. He didn't. But me said, "Is that on fire?" I said, "No, pilot's just injecting fuel in the engine. Just blue flames." I didn't want to scare him.
Well, in the 50s, I guess, is probably when they went from trains to planes, or more to planes anyway. A lot of guys scared of flying. Were you ever afraid of flying? Or?
No, I never was. I enjoyed it. Well, most of the time, put it that way.
How about, just a couple more guys. How about Jimmy Rivera?
Oh, yeah. I like Jim, too. I roomed with him in spring training one year. And Jim was a nice guy. He might have had credit of being a bad guy, but what I saw of Jim was all right. He's a great guy.
Sounded like he was a funny guy. I read a couple of stories, some comments that he made that sounded pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Wisecracking kind of guy?
Yeah, oh, yeah. He could wisecrack.
How about the Early Win?
Early Win. Yeah. You know, I had a room with Early Win one spring training. I got a picture up there of me and Early.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Early's a great guy. He was a contractor. I don't know if he still is in Florida or not.
Yeah, a lot of nice pictures there. I didn't even notice them when we walked in. I'll have to take a look at it later. And some guys that you played against, I just want to pick out a couple quick ones. How about a guy that I've been trying to get one of these interviews done with and I haven't been able to do it yet? How about Sam Jethro?
I've been around Jethro a little bit when he was at St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he'd done a pretty good job playing ball in St. Paul, no. But I just don't know him that well. I couldn't hardly
He was rookie of the year in 1950 and just played two more years and then that was it, back in the minor leagues and never heard from him again. How about Sal Bagley? Just died here just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw it in the paper. Sal's a great guy. Yeah. You ought to talk to Carl Erskine about that. Carl could tell you a lot about Sal Bagley.
Mm-hmm. You ever give you a close shave? Or?
Not that I know of.
No?
Of course, back then you didn't pay any attention to it because you got hit a lot. Mm-hmm. I've been hit all over baseball. That doesn't bother me.
How about when they signed Jackie Robinson? What do you remember about, what do you think about, well, tell me about Jackie Robinson, what kind of player you thought he was, and what did you think about the signing?
Well, then we didn't approve of it. And he was called one black son of a bitch after another all during the game.
Mm-hmm.
But Jackie was man enough to take it. He never backed off anybody. But my favorite guy was, and it was Roy Campanella. Mm-hmm. I liked Roy.
Tell me about him.
Roy was a great guy. He was a great ball player, too. I'm telling you, he could hit, he could catch. He was polite. Roy was a great guy.
Okay, one last one I'm going to pick out here. How about Ryan Duren? You go up against him at all?
No, never been against Ron Duren.
I never saw a pitch. I just heard the stories about firing the first one into the screen at about 100 mile an hour and then going from there. How about the, you played in some, you played with Pittsburgh and with Chicago, two of the best stadiums at the time, Forbes Field and Comiskey Park, both of which, of course, are gone now. What do you remember about playing? Do you have a favorite place to play? Was there a place that maybe was easier for you to hit, or you like playing the outfield? Or?
No. They were all the same to me as far as that goes. Because I couldn't hardly hit them out of the ballpark anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
I hit one out of Forbes Field, but that was an accident.
How about umpires?
Umpires? One of my favorite umpires just retired. I saw in the paper yesterday, I think it was. Dutch Rennert.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good umpire.
Yeah. How about, anybody else you remember from when you were playing? Was there somebody that you didn't like?
I'd like to tell you a little story about Coast League umpire.
Sure.
We had, now as soon as I can think of his name, colored umpire that went to the major leagues.
Right. Emmett Ashford?
Emmett Ashford. Emmett's umpiring a ball game. I was playing with San Francisco, and we're in Portland. Emmett and our manager got in an argument one night, and Emmett threw him out of the game. Emmett was patient. He would stand there and listen to your argument, but when he had enough, he had enough. You know, he'd throw you out of the game. So the next day, took the lineup up to the home plate. Emmett said, "Now, today's a new day, bygones let bygones be bygones." Tom said, "Well, I'm not mad at you, I'm mad at those other two guys." Emmett said, "What other two guys?" He said, "Abraham Lincoln and Branch Rickey."
And how long did he stay in the game?
No, he didn't throw him out.
I didn't throw him out. That's a good line.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I can't remember the guy. I don't know if it was Pearsall or somebody. Got in a fight with an umpire named, the guy's last name was McKinley. And he questioned a call, and I can't remember. The player said to the umpires, "All I know is they shot the wrong McKinley." President McKinley. One of my friends. You ever get thrown out of any games, Ted?
Very seldom. I want to tell you one about Murtaugh.
Okay, sure.
Danny Murtaugh, Pittsburgh. That's when they come out with that rule, if you throw your batter, throws your bat, you know, because an umpire makes a call that you don't like, you know, I'm ball players used to throw
mm-hmm.
their bat.
That was because of Danny, huh?
Yeah. Well, Danny's, they're playing in Philadelphia anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
Umpire called a strike on Murtaugh. Murtaugh threw his bat up in the air, and the umpire said, "Well, that just grounds me, it costs you $50. Murtaugh run, made a dive and catch. The umpire had to walk away from keeping laughing.
I'll bet.
Still cost him 50.
Oh, well, waste of effort. How about we'll talk about, you said about you've been hit all over, and it was kind of common practice back then. You'd be, if you hit a home run next time up, you could expect to go down, or maybe if they hit a couple home runs in a row, if you were the next guy up, I'm going to see your pants. A lot different now.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, it was just expected back then, or
yeah.
Do you remember any good fights that come out of the?
No.
Did they fight more, or did they fight more today, or?
Oh, they didn't. They didn't fight. They didn't get mad. I was playing in California. I was on a hitting streak out there in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I had 12 consecutive base hits. But anyhow, during that stretch, I went to the bat one time. The catcher. Well, the first pitch, they knocked me down. And when I got up, the catcher said, "Hit this next pitch out of the park." So he was just telling me he had orders from the bench to knock me down.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I hit it out of the park. But I had 12 consecutive base hits in that streak, and five of them were home runs.
Really? Well, I didn't know that from doing the research on it. That's got to be, if not a record, got to be close to it.
Well, I don't know if it's a record or not. But that same year, I had 4 home runs the first 4 times at bat at San Diego. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No, I didn't know that either. Yeah. Where did these little power spurts come from?
I don't know. I drove in 6 runs. We beat them 6-5.
Oh, quite a day. Yeah. That was 4 home runs in the same...
First 4 times at bat.
Same game.
Yeah.
In San Diego, what year was that?
1953.
Hmm. Well, that I didn't know.
I got the Helms Award for that. I got the Helms Award. I don't know if you ever heard of the Helms Award.
No, tell me what that is.
It's a little bronze medal. It's in the Hall of Fame back in the hometown.
Mm-hmm. Was that a, it was an award for, just for that performance
Athletic
or for
the
entire year?
Athlete of the Month.
Athlete of the Month. I see. Who put that out?
Helms. And I saw something in the paper the other day about somebody getting a Helms Award.
No, no, just say Helms, it's not ringing a bell with me. Company, don't know.
I don't know.
But you're happy to get it.
Yeah.
How about, well, we were talking about traveling, about flying and riding the trains and then going to flying and things like that. Tell me about traveling, life on the road, and then the effect it had on your wife and kids, and then the effect it had on you, too.
Well... I didn't get married until late in my baseball career, so it didn't have any effect on the family. I don't really know what to say about it.
Did the traveling bother you at all, or you like going to all the different cities?
Used to, and then after a few years, get tired of traveling. I liked the Coast League because we went into one town for a week.
Oh, I see.
It'd be 1 week in one town, then we'd go on another town for a week, then we'd come home for 2 weeks. That's a good schedule.
You started the Coast League in 1952, and were they flying at that time?
Or yes, we were flying.
No, how about the Pirates? What were the Pirates doing just before that when you were with them? Was that still trains mostly, or were they doing any flying at all?
I think it was all trains.
Hmm.
I don't think we ever flew to Pittsburgh. But the Coast League, another thing I liked about the Coast League, you had every Monday off. You didn't play on Monday. Oh. You finished playing Sunday afternoon. You'd have to be at the ballpark on Tuesday, and it's just like having 2 days off.
I see. Was there any reason for that, or?
No, that's the way they scheduled it, and
every Monday off.
And that was great. I liked that.
How about the equipment that you used? You know, it's the stuff they use now, different. That baseball gloves are 1.5 long. You'd wonder how any of these outfielders now could even drop a ball.
Yeah.
Because the ball could be 6 feet away, and they can still catch it. What about the gloves that you used?
I use a small glove. I like the small glove because I like to feel the ball hit my hand. The gloves today, I don't think hits a hand. If a ball hits your hand, you can get your throwing hand on it. You know where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
I just never liked the big glove.
How about, well, a lot of any difference you think today from your day in bats and balls or anything like that?
No, I don't think there's any difference in the bats and balls. I don't like the batters using gloves.
Mm-hmm. You guys never used them, I take it?
No, because anybody with common sense knows you can grip better barehanded than you can with a pair of gloves on. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why they wear them.
Probably somebody's endorsing them. You know, the glove has a Franklin or something written on the back. Yeah. The guy's probably getting $500 a game or something just to show it on national TV. How about uniforms? Tell me about playing in hot weather with them wool uniforms.
Oh, we had hot ones, too. I mean, those heavy, hot uniforms. When I went to Hollywood, you know, first year I was out there in 1952, they had shorts. When the hot weather, they'd wear shorts. And that was really neat. A little T-shirt for the top and mm-hmm. shorts. Man.
No, I didn't know that.
I thought they should play in shorts all the time.
No, Vec put his White Sox in shorts there in the, well, I don't know, late 76 or sometime. Yeah, they had shorts. They were goofy looking, but they had them. You played, you played more northerly. I've talked to some guys who played down in the Texas League and places like that, but I know that you played in St. Louis in the middle of July and things like that. That had to be
yes.
uncomfortable.
Yeah, Cincinnati too. I remember Cincinnati's a hot